We come this evening and are studying the Shorter Catechism to question number 59 and also question 60. They relate to the fourth commandment. So before I read these questions, we'll remind ourselves what the fourth commandment is. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Remember, when we considered this, we recognised that while there may be many questions about the Sabbath day, when we should remember it, and how, and what, there was no ambiguity about if. There is no if we should remember it, but it's abundantly clear. It's an obligation of the moral law. Is an expression of love for the Lord himself. How am I to love God? Well, one of the ways in which I'm to love the Lord is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It was given in the Garden of Eden, in paradise. It was given before there was any ceremonial law, any sacrificial system which brought man to God. It was given when man walked with God. That's what the fourth commandment is. There's no if about it. But there are questions about when. And that's what's addressed in question 59. Which day of the seven have God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since, to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. Which day of the seven has God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. Which day are we to remember the Sabbath day? Well, in the Old Testament time, from the creation right up to the resurrection of the Saviour, it was the seventh day. And we understand that because we see that clearly in the order in Genesis, in the creation. The Lord made the earth in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day, and he blessed the seventh day. And that was the day which was given to be set aside from all other responsibilities. And while that was given to Adam in paradise, we find it emphasized and clarified at Sinai in the giving of the Ten Commandments. So the weekly Sabbath was the seventh day. But the big question for us surely is this. Is it to continue to be the seventh day or the final day? It's one day in seven, but must it be the final day of the week? That's the argument which is made by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There may be other differences with the Seventh-day Adventists, but certainly one is that they meet to worship on Saturday, the last day of the week. There are also some Messianic Jews. those who acknowledge that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, but in part because of their, or in large measure because of their Jewish background, they continue on this seventh day, the last day of the week, to gather to worship then. There's no clear commandment, is there, in the New Testament, saying that we were to move from the last day of the week unto the first day of the week. There's no clear, distinct, single commandment, that is true, but there is the practice of the New Testament and there is the precept. Practice and precept. Let's think of the practice. We read John chapter 20, and one of the reasons why we read John chapter 20 is because it speaks about the resurrection day, the first day of the week when Jesus appeared to his disciples, and that he appeared the second time on the following first day of the week. After 8 days again, the disciples were with him. They were still gathered together. This time Thomas was with them also. And there was the risen Lord in the midst. So he rose on the first day of the week and he appeared to his disciples. And then the next first day of the next week, he again appeared to his disciples. We can also think about Pentecost. Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit was given. And when was the Holy Spirit given? On the day of Pentecost, and the name Pentecost comes from the word 50. It was 50 days. 50 days after the Passover. That Passover Sabbath, when our Lord was in the grave, 7 weeks, 7 sevenths, and then one more, which brings you to the first day of the week. Pentecost was on the first day of the week, and we're told there in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all with one accord in one place. Who were? The disciples were. The disciples were all together on the first day of the week. They were all there together on the first day of the week because that was the resurrection day. And the Spirit of God came upon them in that transformative public way. But we see also in the book of Acts, this time in chapter 20, speaking about Paul's missionary journeys in verse 6, Luke records, "We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, for we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow." Paul was there for an entire week. And yet this was the time that he spoke to the gathered church. Why? Because this was the day that the church gathered. The first day of the week. And then you have the example of the Apostle John, which is emphasized for us at the beginning of the Revelation, when he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." And that's not an expression we find elsewhere, the Lord's day. But we do find the expression, the Lord's Supper, which talks about the communion, the sacrament. And it was the Lord's Supper because it was the Lord who instituted it. It was the Lord who gave it. And so when John's talking about the Lord's Day, it's the day that the Lord has given. It's the day that the Lord has appointed. The first day of the week. Well, that's the practice. But we also find the precept. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, at the beginning of the chapter, Paul writes, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now the main focus is upon the gathering of the free will offering, which is then to be used for the good of the wider church. But that gathering is to be made when? On the first day of the week. Why the first day of the week? Because that's the day they all gather together. Because it's the day of the resurrection. It is the Christian Sabbath. From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath. And the first day of the week ever since, to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. That's an interesting name for it, isn't it? The Christian Sabbath distinguishes it from the Old Testament Sabbath, and yet the Christian Sabbath connects it to the Old Testament Sabbath. It corresponds. It's not exactly the same, because it's a different day of the week, but there's a correspondence, and we can take what we understand from the Old Testament Sabbath, and we can translate it across. It's not a departure, you see. It's a development. It's an enlargement. The day of rest reclaimed from the tyranny of sin. It's a day of new liberty. Because we can live our life. We live out our week. We live out our life, as it were, in the light of the finished work of redemption. In the Old Testament, that rest was yet to come. You worked your week with the rest yet to come. Whereas now, with the finished work of Christ, that rest has been accomplished and enjoyed. And we go out and we live our lives and we work that week. Well, that's question 59. Which day of the seventh God appointed to be the week of the Sabbath? But then question 60. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? And the answer is the Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations that are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations that are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? Sanctified, that's remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sanctified means to keep it holy. Well, the answer we have three positive exhortations. I want you to notice that. How are you to keep the Sabbath day? There are three positive exhortations. Now, one of the reasons why in our own society, people often recoil from the thought of the Sabbath day, would reject the Sabbath day, are hostile to it. One of the reasons is there's a frustration with a perceived negativity that the Sabbath is a day of do-nots. But here we're given three positive exhortations. That means three things that you must do. It's not do not, but rather it is do. Do this, and do this, and do this. What's the first one? The first is you are to rest. And resting is a positive activity. You're not to be idle, but rather you're to be occupied differently. You're not to expend your energies in the work of the other 6 days, but you are to expend your energy in a restful way. you're to lay down your tools. There is a physical need, isn't there, to rest. It is impossible to continue working without a time of rest. French Revolution, they tried to bring about a 10-day week, and it just didn't work. They had to return to this 7-day week, because we are constructed with a 7-day rhythm. We need a day of rest every 7 days. Not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. We live in a society that is plagued by stress and exhaustion. And there are many people who don't know how to rest. There are many people who are too anxious to rest. There are many people who are too preoccupied to rest. Their minds are racing, their hearts are racing. There's all this to do, and they're driven by a fear of missing out or not achieving or not having. And so they're running all the time and trying to cram it all in. The Sabbath is to be sanctified by holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations that are lawful on other days. You know, you can only truly rest when the mind is settled. I'm sure you've all experienced lying in bed at night, unable to sleep because your mind is racing, because you're anxious. You may be experienced having woken up in the morning and realizing that while you were asleep, you were not really rested because the mind was troubled, there was anxiety. And that manifests itself in all sorts of physical ways. But we are to rest on the Sabbath day because we are to remember the greatness of God. And all anxieties are to be swallowed up in the realization of who God is and what God is doing and His grace and His mercy. It's not so much time to switch off. Rather, it's time to switch on. Because all these other responsibilities can be put aside. And it means that there's nothing to press in or to clutter your thinking or to absorb your energies. But you can instead rest in the realization of God. There is a corresponding responsibility, of course, to work on the other 6 days. I was very clear about the responsibility to work. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should you eat." You must work. You must work hard and diligently, as far as you're able, in 6 days. But you're not to overwork. You have a responsibility to work, but it doesn't all depend upon you. And that is what we realise when we rest on the Sabbath day. That's what we confess when we rest on the Sabbath day. That the world continues without me. It doesn't need me to hold it together. But God is in heaven. In our own society, the established working week makes this easier. I'm not saying there's no complications. I'm not saying there's no problems. But there is an established working week, isn't there? There's a general expectation that people work Monday to Friday. There's Saturday for chores. And then there is a day off. People like to extend that and speak about a weekend off. Meaning Saturday and Sunday. And the whole idea of a weekend is misplaced because, of course, the Sunday isn't the weekend. It's the week beginning. But there is a sequence in our society that lends itself to help us to keep the Christian Sabbath. Think of the pressure. Subsistence farming. So many people for so many generations were dependent for their food upon what they could do with their own hands. And if the weather was favourable, how hard it would be to rest on the Sabbath day, not to reap your fields when the weather's favourable and the corn is ripe and perhaps the weather may change tomorrow. It's an exercise in faithfulness, isn't it? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by holy resting all that day, even what's from such worldly employments and recreations that are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. So that's the second positive exhortation. The first is to rest, and the second is to reflect. To reflect upon God, to worship Him. Psalm 92 is described as a psalm or song for the Sabbath day, and it begins, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." This is what you're to do. You're to worship God. The Catechism emphasizes it's the whole day, all that day. It's not just that you're to attend church, but the whole day is to be consecrated to the worship of the Lord. It's not always possible to attend church twice because of the distance that we travel, because of health, because of family, because of the stage of life that we're at. It's not always possible to be there twice, but we're to be there as we're able. But we are also to use the rest of that day for the worship of God. Not pursuing after everything else in life, but pursuing after God Himself. It is a laying aside what is good so that you might have what is best. We can't have what is best all the time, because in this world we have many responsibilities and we get on with the mundane things. That word mundane means the things of the world, things of the earth. But the Christian Sabbath is a heavenly day, because we put the mundane things away and we reflect upon who God is and what God is, what God has done, and that He is our God and His mercies are new every morning. And that is to be our experience. That is to be our practice as individuals in private, the family together, and the congregation, which is all the families together. We cannot make it a delight for anyone else, but we can encourage everyone else to recognize that this is a happy day. This is a glorious day. That this is a blessed day. We can't have best all the time in this world, but we can look forward to when we shall have best all the time and the work of this world is over. Let me conclude. There are three positive exhortations. One is to rest, the second is to reflect, and the third, you're to remember. Maybe that's not the best heading, because we're to remember the Sabbath day, but what I mean there is we're to remember those who need our help. Let me remind you the answer to question 60. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations that are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. You know, the Jews distorted the worship of God because they made all these exceptions and allowances, because they would say, well, this korban was the phrase that was used, and they would excuse themselves from the fulfilling their obligation to one another because they said it was all devoted to God. Friends, in our keeping of the Sabbath day, we're not to neglect those who need help and those who need assistance. Works of necessity and mercy. And in that, it includes also children, doesn't it? Because children are childish and don't yet have full capacity. And so we must accommodate them, and we must deal with them in a gracious and a faithful way. And not only the children within the home, there's those out with our home, those throughout our community, those who have particular needs, and we're not to make excuses for avoiding serving them, but rather to look for opportunities to. Keep the Sabbath day. Three positive exhortations, not a long list of rules. Three positive exhortations. Rest, reflect, and remember. Amen.